morning. Welcome to Grace Chapel. Part of the Fisherman Ministry. Thank you for joining us today. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
God arise, let God arise, let God arise, let God arise. Let him easy scatter. Just be glad. Yes, let them rejoice in gladness. God is triumphed mightily. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God just be glad. Yes, let them rejoice in gladness. God has triumphed mightily. May God arise. Let God arise. Let
Dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this week. We thank you for the things that have happened. We thank you most of all, Lord, that we can come together again today to learn about you, to rejoice in you, and to love you. Father, open our eyes and our ears. Let us hear your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise him, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him, praise him when the sun goes down, serve him, serve him in the morning, serve him in the noontime, serve him when the sun goes down.
Again, as always out here at Grace Ranch, it's been another interesting week. And the last couple of days, I've used some muscles that I hadn't used in a long time. Advil is my friend. But more so, the Lord is my leader. And there's muscles that we don't use physically a lot of times. And then when we do use them, they're sore. The muscles of the Lord that we have, if we don't use them, just like our physical muscles can get atrophied, they get where they don't want to move. Our primary job, our goal and our focus is to let others know what the Lord has done for us and with us. to let them know the good news of what Jesus did for us so that we can be sitting here today loving Him, rejoicing for Him, and praising Him. We need to use those muscles that are given to us. We need to work those muscles every time we go out. We don't need to let those muscles become atrophied. And it doesn't matter what happens or how anybody receives you, because as long as you're using the word of the Lord and you're using Jesus Christ and giving Jesus Christ out to them, you cannot allow their influence to change what you do. So I've got a short one today. Let's just keep our eyes on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Let's use the muscles that He's given us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, Bob. When you use these muscles you rarely use, they become sore. And they hurt. And if you stop, they'll eventually just turn to a dull ache and then it'll go away. But what have you accomplished? Right? If you want to build that faith muscle, if you want to build more Jesus inside you, you want to build that love, when you start using that, it's going to start hurting a little bit. You might think that things aren't going the way that you want. You might see some things about yourself that you thought were great, but you find out you got to get rid of so you can move forward. And when that pain comes on you, it's how you deal with that pain. It's going to show you where you're going to go. You're going to shy away from it and turn away, stay where you are, or are you going to push through it? Now, think about like construction zones, because this is what Bob's talking about. He has, you know, we're working on the Coyote Cabin up here. And the other day I went into town to get some materials, and there's construction zones right on the roads. And then, you know, we got a construction zone here over at the cabin. And these places are, they're dangerous places. You got heavy equipment moving around. You got a lot of people doing a lot of different things. And there's holes, there's pits, there's nails, there's all kinds of stuff. And they don't look very pretty. They're kind of ugly, right? Everything's all torn up and laying all over the place, and it's just a mess. But to the architect, to the person that designed that thing, they go up and they look at that construction zone, and they can see the final result. They can see that building. They can see those beautiful bridges with the archways and all this stuff. To them, it's beautiful because they can see the end of what all this work is. I'm just going to read a verse out of Romans. I'm going to go, it's Romans 12. Oh, yeah, I'll probably read 2. 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when we become Christians, we're to lay down our old lives and ask God to become that architect of our new life. Now, in that, you know, some things are going to get messy. There's going to be a bit of a construction zone there. It ain't going to look so great. As he starts to move and work, the problems that we're going to have are these things that are getting torn down and relocated and completely removed. Often we don't like those things. I mean, we like them. That's why we don't like them leaving. You know what I'm saying? And we have trouble seeing not only the finished product that the Lord's working in us, but also the steps that he's taken along the way. It doesn't make sense to us that, you know, something like, you know, in particular happens a particular way. We think it should happen a different way. So we fight it along. But we got to trust Jesus, trust that architect to build us that new life and move forward in it. We need to have that faith. We need to believe and trust him completely in order to make that happen. I was looking at one of these, you know, this day in history type email things. And coming up, it's an anniversary. It was from like the 1850s of this guy, Blondin, I think it was. He was the first guy to walk a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. And he's a Frenchman, and there was you know, an American promoter type guy, and he had saw him perform over in Paris, and he said, "Well, this guy's great. You know, I can make some money off him." So he talks him into coming over to America and doing these feats. And apparently, as time goes on, he ends up crossing Niagara Falls like 200 times or something, you know. But the first time he did it, you know, imagine the crowd of folks out there. I mean, folks are coming just to see the guy die because they don't think he's going to happen. You know, this ain't going to work. And I was reading about it, and he tied one end of the rope on the American side to an oak tree, and he tied the other end of the rope to a rock in Canada. And then he stretched it tight. And there was a flexion in the rope at the center that was over 100 feet. So he was going downhill halfway and then uphill the other half, right? And, you know, people are placing bets and they're looking at it like, oh, man, this guy ain't going to make it. But he starts out and he's going. And he stops in the middle. And he lowers down a rope to the Maid of the Mist, that boat that floats around down there. And had him fill up a water jug, and he raised it back up and took a drink of water. You know, everybody's just watching this guy like, oh my gosh, what's he doing? And finally he finishes his walk across. Right? And then he says, well, I'm going to go back. The promoter says, okay, well, I'm going to charge admission to everybody again because I only charge him for one way. Right? So he collects a bunch of money, and he asks his promoter, he says, would you believe I can do this? You say, oh, yeah, I believe. I just saw you do it. I believe. He said, no. Do you believe that I can do this? And he says, yeah, I believe you can. And he said, good, I'm going to take a wheelbarrow with me this time. Get in. At this particular point, he walked across with the wheelbarrow empty. But if you continue reading in the story, eventually the promoter actually went on his back, like piggybacked on the guy across later on. So it's just something to think about, you know. I mean, how far will your faith go? I mean, are you willing to get into that wheelbarrow? I mean, Jesus has got hold of the other end of it. You going to trust him completely? Go over to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. If you do not let your heart be examined when the Lord comes with a blessing or a correction, if you don't make that a stepping stone, and if you don't make that a rising place, then you're going to receive the grace of God in vain. I mean, if you want strength in building, you know, your spiritual life, in building your present life, and that transformation in your life, you need to embrace the blessing of correction and chastening and actually choose to change. And if you don't do that, then all this other stuff's just, it's in vain. Have faith in God. Believe that the scripture is for you. Have real faith. Believe that love covers you, that his love flows through you, and it's his spirit that lifts you. And share that with others, and we can strengthen the muscles.
Amen.
Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. The eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Praise God. By the way, give Melanie a little cheer because she just found out, I think, yesterday that she was going to be playing the keyboard. So, might just keep her for a while. What do you think?
Yeah.
I've been listening to services today and for a long time, really. And I keep hearing this theme going on. We got to do this. We got to do that. And, you know, all the stuff that we're supposed to be doing and need to be doing and all. But the one thing I missed hearing is how to do it. Oh, saving that for me. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. Fear. Fear is what keeps you from walking in the power and love of God. Fear comes in many forms, many shapes, many sizes. I've seen guys in bar fights get the pure living crap beat out of them because they were afraid of being called a coward. I mean, they didn't realize that their motivation for fighting was fear. Now, in Timothy, and I don't know where it is in Timothy. Anyway, it's the 7th verse, I know that. Y'all, somebody find it. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
2 Timothy 1:7.
Thank you. But if you go to the verse before that, by the way, she said 2 Timothy 1:7. But if you go to verse 6, look what Paul says. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now let me ask you, what gift do you think that was Paul was talking about? Anybody got an idea? Holy Spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you had hands laid on you to receive the Holy Spirit? Then when those hands were laid on you and you were prayed for, you didn't get a spirit of fear. So why do you act like it? Why do you walk like it? Could it be because you don't believe? You don't trust? We go back to Hebrews 4. And I remember years and years ago, I asked this minister woman if she'd ever read Hebrews 4. And she said, oh yes, many times. I said, well, go out there and read it again. Go out on the porch and read it again. And when you come back to them, then come on back in. So she did. She came back in. I said, now you think you know what it means? She said, yes. I said, good. Go read it again. So she looked a little perturbed. You remember this, don't you, Anna? She looked a little perturbed, but she went out. She read it again. She came back in. I said, well, do you know what it means? Yes, Brother Davy, I know what it means. I said, good. Go read it again. Now, she was definitely getting upset. I know what it means. I don't have to read it again. I said, go read it again. So she went out and read it again. Finally, she came back in. I said, now, do you know what it means? She said, yes. I said, good. Explain it to me. She had no clue what it meant. I took it and I shared with her the simple breakdown. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us venturing into his rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it. For the word or gospel was preached unto us, as well as unto them, but the word preached unto them profited them nothing, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Unless you take the word of God and you mix it with faith, it is a killer. You say, why is it a killer? Because when you hear it, you're accountable for it. And if you don't act on it, it will judge you. And again, that word mixed is a word as in digestion. You can get the best piece of meat, organic meat, grass-fed organic meat, massaged in the barn every night. And you can get that meat and you can cook it up with organic ingredients. And you can eat it. But if your stomach doesn't digest it, that meat will putrefy and it will kill you. But when it's mixed with the enzymes and the digestive juices, and processed as God intended it to be, it will bring your body life. And so is the Word of God. It has to be mixed with faith. Now, faith has an interesting attribute, because faith is a fear killer. Faith will kill the spirit of fear. If you are faced with a situation, if you're faced with a problem, and you can't pass through that, then that's a sign that your faith is not being mixed with word, and you're being stopped by the spirit of fear. But God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But in order to use that spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, in other words, the Holy Spirit, you have to activate the word of God by faith. If you want to stand in the throne room of God, four steps that you have to go through. The first, fear. And that's fear of God. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us, then you're going to do his rest. Any of you should seem to fall short of it. The second step Let us therefore labor against that unbelief. Once you grab hold of the word and you mix it with faith, you're always going to have to labor against unbelief. Because unbelief comes from the flesh and it's fed by fear. But you have to fight that and put it down by the word of God and by faith. Then let us hold fast to our profession of faith. Once you have battled through that unbelief, you have to step out in that profession God has called you in. Whether it be a teacher, pastor, evangelist, prophet, or an apostle, whatever God may call you to do, your profession, you have to stand up in it. Will you make mistakes? Yes. Will you do stupid things? Yes. But that's what the grace of God is for. That's part of the construction process, as Brother Scott mentioned. When the building is done, we'll clean up the mess. In the meantime, the mess doesn't matter. It's the building that matters. You hear that? So, hold fast to what God has called you to do, and do it. I don't care how many times you screw up or make a mistake or fall on your face. Doesn't matter. It's the fact that you hold fast. Using faith and the word, which will activate the Holy Spirit. Stirring up that gift, how do you stir it up? By faith and the word. You want to see the Holy Spirit get busy? Start talking about his favorite subject. What's his favorite subject? Jesus. He's not impressed with the ball game or the horse race or soccer. But you want to see the Holy Spirit get excited and start moving. Start changing lives. Talk about his favorite subject, which is Jesus. And then fourth and finally, come to the throne of God, boldness. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help in time of need. See, when you make those steps, then you belong there. You don't have to go and whine and cry and beg at the door to be allowed to just peek in. You have access. Remember when Jesus came up to the tomb of Lazarus? And he prayed. One of the things he said was, Father, I know thou hearest me in all things, whatsoever I ask. But for their sakes. See, Jesus, he didn't have to pray for himself. All he had to do is say, Lazarus, get out here. That's all he had to do. But for the people's sake, he prayed to the Father. you realize that when you're in that place that you're supposed to be, when you pray for someone who's sick, you're praying in the name of Jesus. You don't have to say in the name of Jesus if you're in that place. But for the people's sake, you say in the name of Jesus. See, you gotta get an understanding of that. You gotta wrap your head around that. That God has called you. If He's called you to salvation, He's called you to be part of His body. If He's called you to be part of His body, He has called you to represent Him. If He has called you to represent Him, then He has called you to preach the gospel. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. No excuses. None. Every believer, every Christian has that promise. Every believer. You got to stop letting fear rob you of what God has for you. Fear of failure. Fear of what other people will think. See, when it's all about you, you're ruled by fear. When it's all about Jesus, there is no fear. And I know what I'm talking about, because I remember the riots, the race riots back when, the 70s. Well, I remember them in the 70s in Orlando. And they had, my mission was right in the middle of where riots were going on. And I was walking to the mission by myself. And I was approached by some very angry black men with weapons. And I told them, stand fast, for you know not who is with me. For those with me are greater than you. They dropped their weapons and ran. I got to the mission. And later, one of those men came in the mission. And when he saw me, he started looking around real rapidly. I recognized him. I said, what are you looking for? He said, those guys that were with you with the big swords. God had opened their eyes. And they were able to see the angels that God had with me. Now, if I had operated in fear, that would not have happened. You understand what I'm saying? Because my faith and my hope was based on Jesus Christ and His Spirit, I didn't have time to fear. And I told the guy, I said, oh, they're with me, but it's okay. They're not going to bother you here. And that guy accepted the Lord that night. Overcome fear. You overcome everything. And don't think you don't have fear. Because it's in your voice. I hear it. It's in your comments about other people. I hear it. Doesn't have to be that way. Amen. Amen. Stir up that gift. Stir it up. How do you stir it up? By praying praying in the Holy Ghost and by stepping out and doing it. You know, when you stir a pan of mashed potatoes, there's resistance in there. But you just put force to it and stir anyway. When you go forth to stir up the Holy Ghost, there's going to be resistance from your flesh. But stir it up anyway. And he will get excited and begin to move. Amen.
Amen.
I'm done.
Jesus, oh, he is the King
For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give all the glory unto Him. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Be with us this week. Let us walk. Let us do your will. And we thank you for it, and we love you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.